Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Gershon Bertman. Meseches Sukkah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel. Le'iloi Nishmas, Feivel Yosef ben Chaim Leib, and Yehuda Zev ben Feivel Yosef.
Daf Lametes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Omar Rove lo'ileme inish yeheishmei rabo, vehodar mevorach, elo yeheishmei rabo mevorach bahadode. One should not say Yeheshmi Rabbo and then pause and then continue with the word Mevorach. You should say Yeheshmi Rabbo Mevorach together. Omale Rav Safro, Moishe Shapir Ko Amres, Elo Hosom Vehoche Asuke Milsehu, Veleislon Bo. Rav Safro disagrees to Ravo and he says that there's no reason to be Choshesh in separating those two words, Yeheshmi Rabbo, and then saying Mevorach, since everyone knows that this is just the continuation of one sentence, and therefore if one needs to, he could pause between the words Rabbo and Mevorach. Tosfos already in Lamed Ches Amud Beis said that Rove agreed to Rav Safra, and after Rav Safra told him that Svara, that since it's one long sentence, there's no problem to stop in between, Rove accepted it. Tosfos brings a riot that Rove himself held that svara. This Gemara has a big nafkamina in the pshat of the sentence Yehei Shmei Rabbo Mevorach Le'olam Ule'ol Me'olmayo. Tosfos in Brochus Daf Gimel Amud Aleph Dibor Matchil Ve'oinin. Tosfos says that there are two ways to understand the words of Yehei Shmei Rabbo Mevorach. He brings in the name of the Machzor Vitri. The Yehei Shmei Rabbo, the three words Yehei Shmei Rabbo, are a tefillah by itself. And the meaning of this tefillah is that we are praying that Hashem's name will become full and complete. And what does that mean? The shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Hazeh is only Yud Kei. Yud and after that a Hei. As the Pasuk says, Ki Yod Al Keis Ko. And in this world, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still not complete. And the way Chazal teach us, Lo yihye shmoi sholem v'kisoi sholem ad sheimoche zaroi shel amolek. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never be complete until all the koichos hara will be destroyed. Therefore, what we are davening in every Kaddish according to the Machzor Vitri is, Yehei shmei rabo. The word shmei is basically two words. Yehei shem yud hei. Rabbo, this name should be complete, should come to its full expression, and that means that we're praying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already should come to the point where he will destroy the Ra, and his name will be full, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And says Tosfos that according to this pshat of the Machzor Vitri, the Hemshech of Yehei Shmei Rabbo, when we say Mevorach Le'olam Le'ol Me'olmayo, is a tefillah acheres, which means we're asking that not only that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be complete, it should also be blessed for Olam Haba. Tosfos offers and suggests a different pshat, and he says that Yehei Shmei Rabbo means Yehei Shmoi HaGodol. According to Tosfos, Yehei Shmei Rabbo is just an adjective. Rabbo is just a toyar. It describes the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehei Shmei Rabbo, Hashem's great name, should be Mevorach Le'olam Le'olam Le'olmayo, should be blessed forever and for eternity. So it comes out that according to Tosfos, the whole sentence of Yehei Shmei Rabbo, Mevorach Le'olam Le'olam Le'olmayo, is one big sentence. And the word Rabbo is only describing the word Shmei. It's an adjective that tells us Yehei Shmei Rabbo, may Hashem's great name be Mevorach Le'olam, be blessed forever. On the other hand, according to the Machzor Vitri, these are two separate parts in one sentence. The first part only tells us Yehei Shmei, Shem Ka, the Shem Yud Hei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Rabbo. And Rabbo in this case is a verb. This Shem should be great, should become great, should become to a full completion. And after that, we continue with the new idea of Mevorach Le'olam Le'olam Le'olmayo. We also pray that Hashem's name should be blessed. The Kapais Tmorim says that from our sugya, there could be a raya against the pshat of the Machzor Vitri. We mentioned that Rava said the halacha that one should not stop between the words Rabba and Mevorach. He should say straight, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. And even Rav Safra agreed to Rava's understanding of the words of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach. But he just said that we don't have to be choshish to stop and pause between those two words, because it's all one long sentence and everyone understands that this is a continuation of the previous sentence. So the Kapistorim asks, Bishlam, according to Tosfos, that Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach is all one long sentence, and the pshat in the sentence is that we ask that Hashem's great name should be blessed forever. We can understand why Rava was bothered, and he didn't want people to stop and to pause after Yehei Shmei Rabba, because it is all one long sentence. Therefore, one should not be mafsik after the word Rabba before he continues on with Mevorach, since it's all the same sentence. But according to the Machzor Vitri, since the way the Machzor Vitri understands, Yehei Shmei Rabba has two parts to it. First, the first three words of Yehei Shmei Rabba are a sentence by itself, which means Hashem's names, Yud Kei, should be Rabba, should be complete. And then comes another section when we pray that Hashem should be also Mevorach La'olam La'olmei Olmayo. Says the Kapeis Tmorim, according to the Machzor Vitri, since it's two parts of one sentence, what is the problem to be mafsik between these two parts? Why was Rava bothered? And Meikar Adin, he said that one should not pause after saying Yehei Shmei Rabba before continuing with Mevorach. According to the Machzor Vitri, there shouldn't be any problem. Adarabe, one should pause because these are two parts of one sentence, but they are not one long sentence. The Kapeis Tvarim says that this kasha is so strong that he is surprised that the Rishonim that discussed the two explanations of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach didn't mention that in our sugi it's mashma clearly like Tosfos' pshat and not like the Machzor Vitri's pshat. The Birkei Yosef in Ohr HaChaim, Simen Nun Vav, Sifkot Beis, writes that we could understand our sugya even according to the Machzor Vitri. It is true that according to the Machzor Vitri, Yehei Shmei Rabba is one part of the sentence, and then comes a second part. But still, Rava didn't want people to stop between those two sections. And said that the Birkei Yosef, that the truth is that this is a riot of the Machzor Vitri. Because if the pshat of Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach is like Tosfos, that it's all one long sentence, why should Rabbi even tell us a chiddush that one shouldn't stop between two parts of one long sentence? We have all kinds of sentences in davening, and Rabbi didn't mention in those sentences that one does not have to, that one cannot pause in the middle of the sentence. Says the Birkei Yosef, the chiddush was because Rabbi understood the main Yehei Shmei Rabba the way the Machzor Vitri understood, that there are two parts of the sentence. The first part says that we're praying that Hashem's name should be full and we should mention Hashem in Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then comes the second part that we pray that name of Hashem should be also blessed. And says Rava, even though these are two parts and two separate in Yonim, but nevertheless they are of the same idea. And there are both prayers, and in both of them we daven that Hashem's name should be great and should be full and should come to a full expression and completion, and it should be blessed. And since these are two parts of the same idea, one should not pause in between them. And therefore, says the Birkei Yosef, not only this is not a raya against the Machzor Vitri, but the Gemara works better and sounds better if we follow the pshat of the Machzor Vitri, because according to Tosfos, it doesn't make sense why Rava should tell us a chiddush not to stop in the middle of one long sentence. The maskana of our sugya is the way Rav Safra said that one does not have to worry about pausing between the word Rabba and Mevorach, since it is all one sentence and everyone realizes that even though he paused, he's about to continue. And the way Rav Safra said it, Asuke milsehu veleislon ba, he is only finishing up the sentence that he began. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon, Ohr HaChaim, Simen Nun Vav, Seif Aleph writes, Velo yafsik ben Yehei Shmei Rabba leMevorach. One should not pause between Yehei Shmei Rabba and Mevorach. And the Magen Avraham brings the Shaila of the Shach. How come the Ramah said that one is not allowed to stop between Yehei Shmei Rabbah and Mavarach? Our Gemara clearly came to the maskana that there's no problem in pausing. And as we mentioned, Tosis already said that even Rava accepted this psak halacha from Rav Safra. And therefore, why did the Ramah say that one should not stop between Yehei Shmei Rabbah and Mavarach? The Gemara clearly says that it is a suke milsehu veleis lanbo, there is no chashash in pausing between the words Rabbah and Mevorach. The Aruch Haner explains that when the Ramah says lo yafsik b'nihei shmei Rabbah l'mevorach, he does not mean that one should not pause between those two words. Because as we said, the Gemara clearly says that there's no problem in pausing in between them. The Ramah means to say that one should not be mafsik in by saying other things. For example, if the Shliach Tzibur starts Kedusha and he's in the middle of saying Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah for some reason, he should not stop, he should not be mafsik between Rabbah and Mevarach with other things. But of course, if he's not saying anything else, he's just pausing a little bit, there's no problem at all. The Magen Avraham himself says that when the Ramah says Lo Yafsik Ben Yehei Shmei Rabbah LeMevarach, he means that it shouldn't be an extended pause. Even though our Gemara says that one could be mafsik, the Gemara only means to say that one does not have to say the whole Yehei Shmei Rabbah b'neshima achas. But nevertheless, says the Ramah, one should not pause for a long period of time. He could pause a little bit to take a breath, but not more than that. This is the psak halacha of the Magen Avraham. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, kol ha-mitzvois kulon mevorech aleihem oiver la-asiyosom. And the Gemara explains that Oyver LaHasiyosom means before the Asiyah of the Mitzvah. Tosfos asks, how could one be Mevorech on the Mitzvah of Netilas Lulav before the Asiyah of the Mitzvah? Since the Gemara in Daf Mem Beis says that when one just picks up the Arba Minim, he's already Yoytze Yedei Choyva of the Mitzvah. Therefore, if he picks them up and then says the Bracha, it's not anymore Oyver LaHasiyosom, the Bracha is after he's Yoytze Yedei Choyva of the Mitzvah. And if he will say the bracha before he picks them up, this is not considered that he is mevorech on the mitzvah itself. It is considered that the mitzvah is not mezuman lefanov, and this is not the way to say a bracha on a mitzvah. So Tosfos gives a few terutzim and a few ways to avoid the problem of oiver la'asiyosom in netilas lulav. The first eitz of the Tosfos says that maybe after he will pick the lulav in his hands, before he takes the esrog, he could say the bracha. He has already the lulav in his hands, so the mitzvah is mizuman lefonov, but he does not have the esrog, so he's not yoytze yedei choyva sa mitzvah, and in that case, he is yoytze yedei choyva of the mitzvah to do with the bracha is oyver la'asiyosom. Another option that the Tosfos says is that he will take the arba minim in his hands, but he will hold the esrog upside down, and since the mitzvah of netilas arba minim is only derech gedilasam, and when the esrog is upside down, he's not yoytze yedei choyva. In that case, he's still not yoytze yedei choyva sa mitzvah, and he could say the bracha and then turn it upside down again, right side up, and this time he will do the netila of the lulav after saying the bracha. A third way of avoiding the problem of oiver la'asiyosom, says Tosfos, one could be mechaven not to be yoytze yedei choyva sa mitzvah. He's holding the lulav and the esrog, he's holding them the right way, but since he's mechaven not to be yoytze yedei choyva sa mitzvah, he's not yoytze the mitzvah, and then he says the bracha, and then he's mechaven to be yoytze yedei choyva sa mitzvah. And finally, the fourth terz that Tosfos gives is that the truth of the matter is that one is yoytze yedei choyva right when he picked up the arba minim. But nevertheless, he could still say the bracha later on, and it will be considered oiver la'asiyosom, because even though he was yoytze the ikar mitzvah min ha-Torah when he just picked up the arba minim, but since he did not do the na'anuim, even though the na'anuim are only mitzvah min ha-muvchar and they're not me'akev, but since the part of the mitzvah min ha-muvchar he did not yet fulfill, it is considered as if the mitzvah is still going on, and therefore he could still say the bracha, and it will be considered oiver la'asiyosom. And Tosfos also brings from Anshei Yerushalayim that they used to hold the lulav all day. They used to walk and go in and out from all kinds of places with the lulav in their hands. Therefore, since there is a hidur mitzvah to continue holding the lulav for the rest of the day, So the mitzvah is still continuing, and therefore if one says a bracha, even though he was already yotzei d'chovah just by picking up the arba minim, it is considered oiver las yoso. So the first teretz was holding the esrog, the lulav without the esrog. The second teretz was holding the esrog upside down. The third teretz was to be mechaven not to yotzei d'chovah as a mitzvah. And the fourth one was that since there is still a mitzvah min amuvchor, even after he was yotzei d'chovah as ikar a mitzvah, it is considered oiver la'asiyoso. La'halocha de Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tov Resh Nun Aleph Seif Hei writes, Yevorech al netilas lulav v'shehechiyonu koidem she'ito el ha'esroig, k'dei she'yevorech oiver la'asiyosoi, o yahafoich ha'esroig ad she'yevorech. The Shulchan Aruch suggests two of the eitzes that Tosfos wrote. One of them that he should say the bracha after holding the lulav before picking up the esroig, and the other one is turning the esrog upside down and saying the bracha before turning it right side up again. The Goyin over there says that the best eitza is the other eitza that Tosis mentioned, which is to be mechavin, not to be yoytze yedei choyvas mitzvah. This is the eitza hamuvcheres, and therefore one should do that eitza. In the Gemara itself, when the Gemara mentions this idea that kol mitzvah is kulon mevorach aleim oiver la'asiyosom, the Gemara says, "My mashma dehai oiver lishna deakdumehu." Where do we know that the lashin of oiver la'asiyosom means before the asiyah of the mitzvah? That one has to say the bracha before the asiyah of the mitzvah. And the Gemara brings three psukim that from there we see that the word oiver means before or ahead of. The bracha should come ahead of the mitzvah or before the mitzvah, and only after the bracha comes the mitzvah. The Rishonim ask, why did the Gemara say the halacha? Why did Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say the halacha in such an interesting way? Kol ha-mitzvah is kulan mevarech aleim oiver la'asiyosam, and the Gemara had to bring a raya that he meant oiver la'asiyosam before the asiyah of the mitzvah. Why couldn't he simply use the regular term koidem la'asiyosam? Kol ha-mitzvah is kulam, mevorech aleim, koidem la'asiyosam. So the Tashbetz and Chelek Beis Simen Reisha in Zayin and also the Avod Reham both say that the reason why he did not use the word koidem, because if he would have said that kol ha-mitzvah is mevorech aleim, koidem la'asiyosam, you would have thought that one could say the bracha a while before the mitzvah itself. It doesn't have to be close to the mitzvah. As long as he says the bracha, even an hour before, he is yoytzei yedei choyvas habracha. Because the word koidem just means before. It doesn't say how much before. Therefore, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel used the word oiver la'asiyosam, and oiver means before, but close to. And from that we know that one has to say the bracha before the mitzvah, but it has to be samuch la mitzvah and not a long time before the mitzvah. The Shagas Aryeh in Simen Chafav says a different interesting teretz to answer why Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel chose the interesting word of oiver la'asiyosam as opposed to the normal term of koidem la'asiyosam. And says the Shagas Aryeh that the truth of the matter is we find in several places around the Shas that the word oiver means also after. Even though the Gemara by us proved that oiver means before, there are a few places where the Mishnah uses the word oiver, and it means after. And therefore, says the Shagas Aryeh, the reason why Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel used that special term of oiver la'asiyosam is to be merames, that even though it is true, one does have to say the bracha before the asiyah, but nevertheless, if he did not say the bracha before the asiyah, he could still say it after the asiyah of the mitzvah as well. And that is why Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel used the word oiver, which really has a double meaning to it. The ikar meaning of oiver means before the mitzvah, but it also has the meaning of after the mitzvah, to be meramez that if one did not say the bracha before the mitzvah, he could say the bracha after the mitzvah as well. Now, this thing that the Shagas Aryeh says that one could say the bracha after the mitzvah is not a simple matter, and it's a very big machlokes rishonim. During this halacha, the kol mitzvah is mevorech aleim oiver la'asiyosam, that one is supposed to say the bracha before he does the mitzvah, there's a big machlokes rishonim, is this din halacha lechatchila or also b'diavad? Do we say that only lechatchila one has to say the bracha before the mitzvah, but if he forgot to say the bracha, you could still say it after the mitzvah? Or we say that this halacha is even b'diavad. The only time to say the bracha is only before doing the mitzvah, and if one for some reason forgot to say the bracha before the mitzvah, he cannot say the bracha anymore. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey and Halacha Vav, says that there are two types of mitzvahs. The Rambam writes, Ho-hoise mitzvah veloi birech, im mitzvah she'adayin asiyoso kayemes, mevorech achar ho'asiyo. If this is a mitzvah that the asiyah of the mitzvah is still kayom, even after he started and he began doing the mitzvah, he could still say the bracha. But if the mitzvah was fully completed and it was already miskayim and he finished the mitzvah completely, he cannot say the bracha anymore. The Rambam gives examples. Ketzad? If someone put on tzitzis or tefillin or he sat in the sukkah, veloy birech, tchilo, choyzer umevorech, achar shenisatef, oy achar shelovash tefillin, oy achar shiyoshav basukah. And the Rambam explains that over there, even though the beginning of the mitzvah is when the person puts on the talis or puts on the tefillin or sits in the sukkah, but still, even after starting the mitzvah is still kayom. He still has the tzitzis on him and the tefillin, and he's still sitting in the sukkah. Therefore, even though he did not say the bracha before the mitzvah, as he should have done it before, because of the halacha of oivel asiyosom, still we say that he could still say the bracha as long as he's still mekayim the mitzvah. Says the Rambam, "Aval im shochat v'lo ibrocho, eino yichozer achar shchita umevorech, v'chen im kiso hadam, o yifrish truma umaisres." In the case of shchita or kiso hadam or truma umaisres, these mitzvahs, they have only one action to them. They are not continuous. And when one forgot to say the bracha before the act of the mitzvah, he cannot say anymore the bracha after the mitzvah, because the halacha is that kol ha-mitzvah is mevarech aleihem oiver la'asiyosam, and since this mitzvah was already finished completely, he is not in the middle of the kiyum of this mitzvah, he lost the opportunity to say the mitzvah, to say the bracha anymore. This is the shita of the Rambam, that kol ha-mitzvah is mevarech aleihem oiver la'asiyosam means only oiver la'asiyosam and not after the mitzvah is done. The Shachni Yerideo Simin Yudtes Sifkot Gimel brings the shita of the Oyer Zeruah. The Hagois Oshri, in the name of the Oyer Zeruah, Hagois Oshri in the first parak of Chulin, says that even in shchita, if one forgot to say the bracha before doing the shchita, he could do the bracha even after the shchita. Even though he's not saying the bracha oivir las yosom, still this is considered a kosher, a bracha, and it is not a bracha levatola. And says the Shach that this is a machalikis rishonim, whether we say that the brachos have to be only over la'asiyasam, or that the Eved one could say the bracha even after the asiyah of the mitzvah. And we saw that the Rambam also agrees that in the case where the mitzvah is still kayom, when the kiyum of the mitzvah is still continuing after the person already started the mitzvah, even according to the Rambam, one could still say the bracha, even though it is not really over la'asiyosam, because he already started the mitzvah, since the mitzvah is still kayom, he could still say the bracha. The Shach in Yerideo Simen Yutesif Kotan Gimel wants to bring a raya that a thesis in our sugya holds like the Rambam, that if one did not say a bracha before the mitzvah, he cannot say the bracha after a mitzvah, unless the mitzvah is still miskayim. We mentioned the Tosfos asked, in the case of the bracha on the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, how could one say a bracha after he already picked up the Arba Minim? This is not Oiver La'asiyosam, since he was already Yoytzi Dechoiva by picking them up. And the fourth teretz that the Tosfos said was that even though one was Yoytzi Dechoiva, the Ikar Din of Netilas Lulav, still he has a mitzvah mina muvchar to do Na'anuim and to hold the Lulav the rest of the day. And therefore, the mitzvah is still Kayom, and one could still say a bracha, even though he did not say the bracha before doing the Ikar Hadin of the mitzvah. Says the Shach, this is exactly the sheet of the Rambam. It's mashma from Tosis that the only reason why we allow the person to say a bracha after he already picked up the Arba Minim and he was Yoytze the Ikar hadin of netilas lulav. This is only because the mitzvah is still miskayim, and this is similar to atifas talis and anochas tefillin, that even if one did not say the bracha before he put on the talis and tefillin, he could still say the bracha afterwards, since the mitzvah is still kayom. So too, said Tosfos by us, that the mitzvah of lulav is still kayom even after he was yotzei the yechayva by picking the arba minim. The mitzvah is still kayom because there's a din of mitzvah in a muvchar of na'anuim and holding the lulav for the rest of the day. According to the Arzahua, Tosfos shouldn't have bothered by saying that he still has a mitzvah min amuvchar to do na'anuim and to hold the lulav. Tosfos should have said simply that even though he did not say the bracha before the picking up of the arba minim, and he was already yotzei deichayva, the mitzvah of netilas lulav, nevertheless he could still say a bracha even after the maisa mitzvah, because this is the shita of the Arzahua. From the fact that Tosfos had to tell us that the mitzvah is still miskayim, because there's still a mitzvah min amuvchar even after one was yotzei deichayva, the ikar of the mitzvah, that is the raya that Tosfos holds like the Rambam, that only in such a case where the mitzvah is still kayom, one could say a bracha after the mitzvah. But in a regular mitzvah, where the mitzvah was completed and finished completely in one act, in one maaseh, one cannot say the bracha after the maaseh of the mitzvah. The Shagas Aryeh in Simin Chavav says that there is no raya from our Tosfos that Tosfos holds like the Rambam, that if one did not say the bracha before the mitzvah, and the mitzvah was already fully miskayim, he cannot say the bracha afterwards. Because it could be that Tosfos really holds like the Oizerua, that bedieved, if one did not say the bracha before the mitzvah, oiver las yosom, he could still say the bracha after the mitzvah, even if the mitzvah was completely miskayim. The reason why Tosfos felt it was necessary to mention that after picking up the arba minim, the mitzvah still continues, and there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to do na'anuim and to walk around with the lulav the whole day, that is because here we're discussing a case of a lechatchila, not a case of a bedieved. Tosfos wanted to explain why were Chazal misaken lechatchila the bracha after one already picked up the arba minim and he was yoytzi edei choyva. After picking up the arba minim, the mitzvah was miskayim already. So how could Chazal be misaken lechatchila? It is true that b'dieved one could even say the bracha after the mitzvah, but why will Chazal be misaken such a bracha lechatchila? Therefore, for that reason, Tosfos said that it is still considered that he is in the middle of the Maisei HaMitzvah. Since there is an inyan, a mitzvah min amuvchar to do na'anuim and to walk around with the lulav the whole day, it is considered as if he is still in the middle of the kiyum of the mitzvah. Therefore, even lechatchila, it is considered that he is saying the bracha over la'asiyosam. But regarding a case of a bedieved, even Tosfos will agree that even if the mitzvah was fully complete and it was miskayim legamrei, and there's no continuation of the mitzvah, still, since it's a case of a bedieved, if one did not say the bracha before the maisa mitzvah, he could still say the bracha after the maisa mitzvah, like the Arzahua. An interesting he'ara on this subject matter we find in the Tzitz Eliezer, Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Simen Vav in Chelek Aleph. This is a tshuva which he wrote to the Baal HaMarcheshes. The Tzitz Eliezer says that according to the Rambam, that one cannot say the bracha after the mitzvah, only before the mitzvah. And even if he forgot to say the bracha before the mitzvah, he cannot say the bracha afterwards. And Masha Osa Osa, we could understand the halacha in the Beis Yosef, Oirachayim Tof Lamed Beis in Hilchos Pesach. The Beis Yosef says that the reason why we don't say a bracha on Bitul Chametz and only on Bi'ur Chametz is because the bitul is a mitzvah shebelev. The way a person is mekayim the mitzvah of being mevatel the chametz is by thinking in his heart that he wants it to be mevutal. And a mitzvah shebelev, we do not say a bracha on it. And the question is, what does it matter that the mitzvah is miskayim belev? Since it's a mitzvah and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa of tashbisu, why doesn't it deserve a bracha bifnei atzmo? Says the Tzitz Eliezer that according to the Rambam, this could be understood very well. Since the Rambam holds that if one did not say the bracha before the mitzvah, one cannot say a bracha after being mekayim a mitzvah. Therefore, any mitzvah which is miskayim balev, by definition, the bracha will always be after the kiyum of the mitzvah. Because, for example, in bitul chametz, If one wants to do the bittul of the chametz and he will have to say a bracha, before saying the bracha, he will have to have kavana, what the bracha is going to be on. And he will think in his mind that he's going to say a bracha on being mevat of the chametz. And right there and then, he was already mekayim the mitzvah of bittul chametz by thinking that the chametz is going to be mevutal. And therefore, the bracha that he's saying right after that is a bracha after the mitzvah. And as we know, the Rambam holds that one cannot say a bracha after the mitzvah, only before the mitzvah. And therefore, it says the Tzitz Eliezer, this is the explanation why we do not say brachos on mitzvahs which are miskayim balev, because any mitzvah which is miskayim balev, when one is already mechaven to say the bracha, he was already mechaim the mitzvah, and the bracha is after the mitzvah, which the Rambam holds is not a kosher bracha. Another nafkamina in this machlaik is whether one could say a bracha even after doing the mitzvah, or according to the Rambam, one who did not say the bracha before the mitzvah lost his opportunity to say the bracha after the mitzvah, unless the mitzvah is still kayam. This nafkamina is brought in Shuvis Har Tzvi from Reb Hirsch Pesach Frank, Evan Ho'ezer, Simen Peizayin. He says, he quotes the famous Rashba in Shuvis Chelek Aleph Simen Yudches that asks, why don't we say a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah? When one gives money to an ani, he should say a bracha beforehand because he's mekayim a mitzvah. The Rashba says that the reason why we don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah, because this mitzvah is totally bedas acherim. Could be that after the person will say a bracha and he will want to give them the ani the money, the ani will reject it and he won't want to take from him. So therefore, if one will do so, he will say the bracha before giving the money to the ani, there's a chance that he will be nichshal in bracha levatala, and therefore Chazal weren't mesakin a bracha on this mitzvah of tzedakah. Says the Har Tzvi, this could be understood only according to the Rambam. The Rambam that holds that a bracha on the mitzvah could be said only before the mitzvah, and even b'di'evid one can never say a bracha after the mitzvah was done. Therefore, in the case of tzedakah, there's no option, there's no way of saying the bracha, because if the person will say the bracha before he does the mitzvah, before he gives the tzedakah to the ani, there's a chance of the ani rejecting him, and the bracha will be a bracha levatala. But according to the Choylkim on the Rambam, which is the Arzarua, and the Har Tzvi says that also the Ravid is Choylk on the Rambam in this, according to them, even though one cannot say a bracha before the mitzvah of tzedakah, one could give the ani the money, the tzedakah, and after the ani accepts it, now he knows that he was already mekayim the mitzvah, and therefore there's no problem now to say the bracha. Bishlam, according to the Rambam, one cannot say a bracha after the mitzvah, therefore there's no way of saying a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. But according to the other Rishonim, that a bracha after the mitzvah is also kosher b'di'evid, in this case of tzedakah, where there's no other option, one cannot say the bracha beforehand, the Chazal should have been misakin a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah, at least after one gives the tzedakah to the ani, and he knows that his bracha is not levatala anymore. So according to the Rambam, the teretz of the Rashba is a glatta teretz, that the reason why one cannot say a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah, because he cannot say the bracha beforehand, because it's tolu b'das acherim, and after the mitzvah, the Rambam holds that one cannot say a bracha, since the mitzvah was done already, and masha osa kvar nasa. There's an interesting chiddush that is brought down in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, and many people quote this chiddush in the name of Reb Chaim. It is also brought down in Moyad Dimuzmanim Chalak Beis Simen Lamites. Reb Chaim discusses a person who has two esroigim. One of the esroigim is an esroig which is for sure kosher levrocha, but is not so mehudor. The other esroig is very mehudor, it is beautiful and clean and has a very special giddel, but there's a suffix whether it is kosher or not. For one reason or the other, there's a suffix whether it is kosher. But if it is kosher, it is clearly more mehudar than the first esroig. And the question is, what should the person do? Which esroig should he use for the mitzvah of netilas lulav? Reb Chaim said the chiddush, and he said that the person should use first the esroig which is more mehudar. Because even though the other esroig is for sure kosher levracha, if the person will first use the esrog, which is for sure kosher, on the tzad that he was, since he was already yoytze yedei chayva, the mitzvah of netilas lulav, because this esrog is for sure kosher, now by taking and doing the mitzvah again with the mehudar esroig, he is not gaining anything, because a hidur mitzvah is only as long as the person was not yoytzi yedei chayva the mitzvah. But once the person was already yoytzi yedei chayva the mitzvah, the ikar din of the mitzvah, he cannot do a hidur mitzvah after the mitzvah was already miskayim. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, the person should first do netilas lulav with the esroig, which is very mehudar but safek kosher. And there we say that on the tzad, that this esrig is really kosher, then it is all great. He was yoytzi yedei chayva with the esrig which is kosher and very mehudar. And on the tzad, that he was not yoytzi with this esrig, because really this esrig is beautiful but it is not kosher, he is now going to take the other esrig, and that is esrig is for sure kosher livracha, and therefore he will be yoytzi yedei chayva with the simple kosher esrig. This is so that Reb Chaim said that once a person was already yoytzi yedei chayva the mitzvah itself, he cannot do an added hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah is only so long that the person was not yoytzi yedei chayva the mitzvah. But once he was already yoytzi yedei chayva of the mitzvah, he cannot do any more a hidur mitzvah on top of the mitzvah. This yisoid is not agreed by everyone. The Birki Yosef in Oyer HaChaim, Simen Reish Ein Beis, Seif Aleph, regarding the halachos of Kiddush, clearly disagrees with Reb Chaim. The Birki Yosef discusses the machlokes rishonim, whether a person is yoytzei de choyva by doing a Kiddush with a yayin megula. Yayin which is exposed, which was exposed to the air, and it was not covered. There's a machlokes rishonim whether this yayin is kosher le Kiddush. Says the Birki Yosef, and he proves that from a Gemara, that even according to those that hold that one is yoytzei de choyvas Kiddush, even by using a yayin megule, even though the yayin is not covered, was not covered, he is yoytzei de choyva the Kiddush, but still it is not a mitzvah min hamuvchar. And therefore, says the Birki Yosef, if after doing the Kiddush he found a different wine which was not megule, which is a better wine, he should repeat the Kiddush again in order to be mekayim the hidur mitzvah of using wine which is not megule. We see clearly from the Birki Yosef that he holds that it's shayich to do a hidur mitzvah even though one was already yoytzi yedei chayva, because in this case the person was already yoytzi yedei chayva the Kiddush, because we're following the Mandar Amrim that hold that one is yoytzi yedei chayva of Kiddush even with a yayin megule. And still, The Birki Yosef said that one could repeat and do the Kiddush again in order to get the Hidur of doing Kiddush on a Yayin, which is not Megule. So this is clearly not like Reb Chaim that said that once a person was already Yoytze the Ikar Mitzvah, he cannot do an extra Hidur on top of that. The reason why I'm mentioning this machlaikas between Reb Chaim and Birki Yosef regarding if one could do a Hidur Mitzvah after the Mitzvah was Miskayim, because some achrayim, and specifically Shailas Tshuva Lahoyos Nosan, Chelek Vav Simen Lamed Ches, say that even if we will agree to the Yisoid of Reb Chaim, that generally speaking, whenever a person was already Mekayim a mitzvah, and he was Yoytzi Me'ikar Hadin, he could not later on add another Hidur, which is not together with the Kiyum of the mitzvah itself. That is true regarding all the mitzvahs of the Torah. But here, specifically about the mitzvah of lulav, the mitzvah of netilas lulav, in the case that Reb Chaim was discussing, where the person had two esrogim and he does not know which one he should take first, here the klal of Reb Chaim will not apply. And they base their yesod on Tosfos, the Tosfos that we mentioned. Tosfos said that even though a person was yoytzi yedei chayva of ikar hadin of lulav by picking the arba meaning up, because the hagbaha of the arba minim is enough to be yoytze the ikar adin, still, says Tosis, one could say the bracha even after he was yoytze the ikar of the mitzvah, because there is still a mitzvah min amuvchar to do na'anuim and to hold the lulav for the rest of the day. Say those achroinim, it is clear from Tosis that the mitzvah of lulav is still miskayim even after a person was yoytze the ikar of the mitzvah, because still he has a mitzvah min amuvchar to continue doing more na'anuim and to hold the lulav as long and as much as he could. Therefore, say those achrayim, even if Reb Chaim is true, even if Reb Chaim is right in other cases that the hidur mitzvah has to be connected with the ikar adin of the mitzvah, in the case of mitzvah of lulav, of netilas arba minim and netilas lulav, this is not so, because the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav was not finished yet, even if the person was Yetzei Dechoiva. Therefore, say those Achoinim, first the person should say the bracha on the kosher esrig, and he should say a bracha on an esrig where he knows for sure he will be Yetzei Dechoiva. And after that, he could take the other esrig, which is mehudar, and he could say the bracha, and he could do the na'anuim with the mehudar dika esrig, because even if he was already yoytzei dechayva with the first esrig, he still could do a hidur and add the hidur to the mitzvah, since the mitzvah is still miskayim, because the mitzvah is not finished once the person was yoytzei dechayva. The mitzvah of netilas lulav is still miskayim as long as he could still do mitzvah min avmuvchar of na'anuim. There's an interesting machlokes over here between Rashi and Tosis in our Mishnah regarding the correct girsa of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Halikeach lulav mecharveiroi bashvis, noisen loy esrig bematono lefi shein rashai leloikhoi bashvis." The Gemara explains that the Mishnah is talking about a person who is buying peiros shvis from an Am HaAretz, and he is not allowed to hand money of kedusha shvis to the Am HaAretz. By doing so, there's a chashash that the Am HaAretz will not treat this money with the proper kedusha. Rashi says in Dibor HaMatchil alo lekeach lulav mechaveroi, li nire da halekeach lulav meham HaAretz garsinan. The real girsa in the Mishnah should be halekeach lulav meham HaAretz and not mechaveroi. Deho be'am HaAretz kumayre, kede amrinim ba'gemore. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is talking about an Am HaAretz. And therefore, says Rashi, we cannot have the girsa halekeach lulav mechaveroi, says Rashi, ve'am HaAretz legabei chover, loy kori lei chaveroi. The Mishnah will not use the term chaveroi regarding a chaver and Am HaAretz. Am HaAretz and a chaver is a talmid chochem or a baal toira, and therefore the Mishnah would not describe the Am HaAretz as a friend or someone who is compared, who is equal to the chaver. Therefore, it must be that the girsa is halakeach lulav me Am HaAretz. Tosfos Dibor HaMatchil halakeach disagrees with Rashi completely. And Tosfos brings three examples in the Shas that we do call an Am HaAretz chaveroi. And not only Am HaAretz, even a goy is called chaveroi. The Mishnah in Shabbos Perek Ashoyel Daf Kufnun Amud Aleph says, Lo yoymer odom lechaveroi schoir li poyalim. And the Gemara explains that this is talking about a person who is telling a goy on Shabbos to help him to hire poyalim. And the Mishnah clearly describes and uses the term chaveroi regarding the goy. So says Tosfos, even a goy is called a chaveroi in the Mishnah, and also two more examples that Tosfos brings that in Am HaAretz is called chaveroi. Therefore, says Tosfos, the girsa is like we have in our Gemarois, halokeach lulav mechaveroi bashvis. This is the correct girsa in our Mishnah. The Aruch Laner brings this machlokes of Rashi into Tosfos, and the Aruch Laner explains that Rashi knew about those Mishnayos, and Rashi knew that sometimes the Mishnah describes an Am HaAretz as a chaver. But in all the examples that Tosfos brought, these Mishnayos are talking about a case where the Am HaAretz really did a favor to the chaver. Therefore, says the Aruch Laner, in those cases the word chaveroi is simply translated as his friend. The Mishnah could describe an Am HaAretz as a friend of a chaver. It happens to be that the chaver had a friend, which is an Am HaAretz, and therefore the Mishnah calls him chaver, because it is clear from the case of the Mishnah that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the Am HaAretz did a favor to the chaver, and if he did the favor to him, it is obviously because they are friends. Therefore, says the Aruch Laner, Rashi does not have a problem over there that the Mishnah describes the Am HaAretz as a chaveroi. This is not to say that the Am HaAretz is equal to the chaver. It is only telling us that he was his friend. But in our Mishnah, the Mishnah is not discussing that the Am HaAretz did a favor to the chaver. Our Mishnah is discussing a simple business transaction between the chaver and the Am HaAretz. Halokeach lulav mechaveroi. In this case, if the girsa would have been loikeach lulav mechaveroi, this wouldn't be able to be explained and translated as one who takes a lulav from his friend, because here we're not talking about friends, we're talking about a loikeach and a moicher. And if the Mishnah still would have the girsa of haloikeach lulav mechaveroi, that would be clearly implying that the Am HaAretz is his chaveroi, he is equal to him. And says Rashi, this is not true. A chaver and Am HaAretz are not equal, they are not compared, and therefore it must be that the real girsa is halokeach lulav me Am HaAretz and not halokeach lulav mechaveroi.
It is interesting that regarding
goyim, whether they could be described as chaveroi or not, we find that the Mechilta in Mishpatim Perek Yud Beis, Parsha Yud Beis, says that from the pasuk ki yigach shoyr ish es shoyrei ehu, we are memaet shoyr shel nochri. The Mechilta says rei ehu lehoiti shoyr shel nochri. It is mashma that a goy is not considered as a re'ehu, and whenever the Torah says re'ehu, it is not including a nochri. Also in the Gemara Baba Kama Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, it is mashma that the word re'ehu is memayet goyim, and whenever the Torah describes someone as re'ehu, it is excluding the goyim. The Magid Mishnah in Lilchoy Schirus Perek Beis Alocho Aleph writes that from that Mechilta we learn that any place that the Torah uses the term re'ehu, this is coming to exclude Nochrim, and this is the Lashon of the Magid Mishnah. V'chein adi la'akum shebechol mokum shehuzka re'ehu ein ho'akum bichlal. The akum are not described in the Torah as re'ehu. Now, there's an obvious question about this yesod of the Magid Mishnah, which is mentioned in the Magid, in the Mechilta. We find that in the Torah, in Parshas Boy, after Makas Choshech, the Torah says, "Daber no beozni ha'om." Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to Klal Yisrael. Ve'ish alu ish me'esrei ehu, ve'ish me'esrei uso klei chesef uchlei zav. This is the famous command that Moshe was asked to ask Klal Yisrael to borrow from the Mitzrayim klei chesef uchlei zav. Now the Torah describes over there the Mitzrayim as re'ehu, ish me'esrei ehu. The Isham Esrei Yuso, this seems to contradict the Yisoy that we learn from the Mechilta, that a goy is never called Re'ehu in the Torah. So the Maise, this question already was asked in the Medrash Psikta Zutrata, Simen Beis, on Parshas Boy. The Medrash brings the Pasuk of V'ishalu Ish Me'esrei Ehu, V'isham Esrei Yuso, and the Medrash asks, V'chi Mitzrayim Re'ehem Shel Yisrael Hoyu? Could we even think that the Mitzrayim were Re'ehem Shel Yisrael? Sha'akosuv oimer ish me'isrei heyu ve'ish me'isrei uso? Elo melamed she'achari ha'makois nihiyu ha'mitzrayim kereim uche'oyhavim le'Yisrael. The Medrash explains that after the makois, the Mitzrayim try to show themselves as if they are Re'ehim, their friends, and they love B'nai Yisrael. And the Medrash goes on over there to explain that whenever one of B'nai Yisrael wanted to borrow anything from a Mitzri, they gave it willingly because they wanted to show themselves as the Re'im of B'nai Yisrael. So according to that, it comes out that it is true that in the rest of the Torah, Re'ehu is excluding Nochri, but in that case, the Torah explicitly uses the term Re'ehu regarding the Mitzriim. That is to teach us that the Makis affected the Mitzrayim so deeply that they tried to find favor in the eyes of B'nai Yisrael after the Makis. Rabbeinu Bechaye over there in Shmoy's Parshas Boy seems to be bothered also by the Loshon Re'ehu that the Torah calls the Mitzrayim with this word Re'ehu Vere'usa. And Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, Yiroi li shekodim matan Torah hoyu kol abriyos chaverim ke'echod. This pasuk in the Torah is discussing a time before Matan Torah, and all the Briyos, all the people of the world, were all considered chaverim. Aval la'achar Matan Torah, shehechzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu es HaTorah al kol umah veloshin veloy kibluo. After Matan Torah, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu already offered all the umois, ha'oilam, the Torah, and they did not accept it, ad shekibluo Yisrael, only Klal Yisrael were willing to accept the Torah, yotzu kol ha'umois min ha'achva ve'horeyus, V'nishar Hashem hazeh be'am Yisrael bilvad. From now on, from that time and on, from the time of Matan Torah, all the Umos HaOlam are excluded from these terms of Achva v'Reyus, and this name of Achva and Reyus is now only coming to describe Klal Yisrael alone. Shenikru achim v'reim lamokoim v'hu shekosuv lema'an achai v'rei'ai. Only Klal Yisrael are considered achim v'reim lamokoim. And says, Rabbeinu Bechayai, V'dorshu chazal, L'chol avedas ochicho, ochicho veloy goy, V'chen lo yisashich le'ochicho, ochicho veloy goy. From the time of Matan Torah and on, only Klal Yisrael are considered ochicho. So according to the Rabbeinu Bechayai, We have a very good teretz why the Torah describes the Mitrim as Re'ehu, even though they are not B'nei Yisrael, because we are discussing a time which is before Matan Torah. The Malbim has a totally different pshat in the pasuk that we mentioned, in the pasuk in Parshas Bo. And the Malbim said that really when the Torah says, Daber no, be'ozni ha'om v'ishalu ish me'is re'ehu v'ish me'is re'usok l'chesef u'chleizahav u'smolo u'chleizahav, the pasuk is not talking about the Mitrim. Of course, the final plan was that B'nai Yisrael should borrow the clothes from the Mitrim. But in order to do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that they should have a plan and they should go, all the people of B'nai Yisrael should go to their own friends from B'nai Yisrael and they should start borrowing clothes and Kli Kesef V'Klei Zahav. And when the Mitrim will ask them, why are you borrowing those Kli Kesef V'Klei Zahav? They're going to say that they have a special Yom Tov coming up and therefore they're borrowing those Kli Kesef V'Klei Zahav from their friends. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to do so is because if they are going to go straight ahead to ask the Mitrim for Kli Kesef V'Klei Zahav, the Mitrim will not give it to them willingly. They will be suspecting that maybe B'nai Israel are going to keep those Kli Kesef V'Klei Zahav forever. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell B'nai Israel to first borrow from their own friends of B'nai Israel, from their neighbors. And once the Mitzrayim see that they're borrowing from their own neighbors, they will be relaxed and they will know that their Kli Kesef V'Klei Zahav also will come back to them the same way B'nai Israel are planning to hand over and to bring back the Kli Kesef V'Klei Zahav to their own friends. And according to the Malbim, Daber no be'ozni ha'om v'ishalu ish me'isrei'ehu is not referring to the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim are not described as Re'ehu. This is referring to the first stage of the plan where Klal Yisrael are commanded to borrow the clothes from their own friends, B'nai Israel. The Mishnah says, "Halakeach lulav mechaviri b'shviis noiseloi esrei b'matono." If one buys a lulav from an amoretz in shnas hashmita, he cannot pay for the esrei because by doing so he's giving the amoretz money which will be kodesh b'kedushas shviis. Lefi shein rashi leloi k'chay b'shviis. The Gemara says that if the amoretz does not want to give him the esrei b'matono, he has to take the Esrog behavlo, and he cannot pay for the esrog directly. Mavliya leidme esrog balulov, which means he pays extra sum of money for the lulav until the amoretz agrees to give him the esrog, and he is not giving him money for the esrog itself. The Gemara explains that the reason why one is not allowed to bring money to buy the esrog from the amoretz is because ein moisrim dmei peiro shviis l'amoretz. Rashi explains, and also Tosfos, they have a machlokes, but both of them agree that the reason why one cannot give money which is kodesh b'kedushas shviis to an amoretz, because we are choshesh that this amoretz will not keep the money in the proper kedusha and he will be oiver on isurim. The halacha is that since the peiros were kodesh b'kedusha shviis, and the amoretz is now selling the peiros, so the kedusha now transfers also to the money which he gets for those peiros, and we are choshesh that he will not be keeping these mois in the proper kedusha. He will not keep the halachas of kedusha shviis that are on these mois. Now the Gemara says, what happens if one already bought peiros from the amoretz and he gave him already the money, and now the amoretz has money in his reshus, money which is kodesh b'kedusha shviis? Is it all lost, or still we could do something about it? The Gemara says, the Braisa says, v'imosar yoimar harimois halolu yehu mechulolin al piroi sheyesh li b'soich beisi. The buyer that bought the fruits from the amoretz, he obviously did an iser. He was not supposed to buy fruits from an amoretz more than mozen sholish seudois. But if he did so, he could still solve the problem by doing a simple chilul. He says that the ma'is that the amoretz has in his house will be mechulol on the peiros that he has, which he has in his own house, and uvav oichlon b'kedusha shviis, and now he has to eat those peiros b'kedusha shviis. Basically, what he is doing is that the kedusha which the ma'is that amoretz has in his house is now being transferred to the peiros. And the money, the mois that the amoretz have, do not have any kedusha to them anymore. Tosfos asks, how does this work? How does this chilul work? We're talking about mois, money which is in the hands of the amoretz, in his house, and the person is now doing a chilul from far away, remotely, he is now doing the chilul on the peiros, which on the ma'is, which are in the house of the Am Haaretz. Says Tesis, there's a machlaikis in Meruba and Babakama Daf Samachesam with Beis, if one could do chilul on fruits which are not in his reshus, on fruits which are in the reshus of somebody else. Says Tesis, according to the Manda Omar, that one cannot do chilul on peiros which are not in his reshus. We have to say that really, the chilul that the person does in our Gemara does not really take place. It is not chal. Says Tosfos, v'yishloima dehoche knosa be'almahu. Really, a person cannot do a chilul on peiros which are not in his reshus, and therefore the money which is in the hands of the Am Haaretz really will still remain kadosh. And still, the reason why the Gemara says that the person that did the chilul has to eat the peiros that he did the chilul with, b'kedusha shvis, this is a knas be'alma. Chazal wanted to do a knas on the person who did not follow the halacha of not buying peiros from an Am Haaretz. And therefore Chazal said that he has to do the act that seems like chilul, and he has to eat the peiros in his house b'kedusha shvis, even though really the chilul never took place, because one cannot do chilul on peiros which are not under his reshus. The Ritva in our sugya says that really one could do chilul on the peiros which are in the hands of the Am Haaretz, and this is because there is an halacha of zachin la'adam sheloi b'fanov. It is a zchus for the Am Haaretz that his ma'os will be mischalel, because if the ma'os, the money that he has in his house, will not be mischalel, there's a great chance that he will be oiver on isurim. He will not keep the ma'os in the proper kedusha, and by doing that, he will be oiver on the isurim of Kedushas Shvis. Therefore, he gets great benefit from the fact that the buyer is now being mechalel the ma'os that he has under his reshus. And therefore, this is the halacha of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. A person could do zchus for someone else, even though it is not in his reshus. He could do the chilul, even though the ma'os are in the reshus of the Am Haaretz. Lemaise, Tosfos did not say the teretz of the Ritva. Tosfos did not explain that in our Braisa, the reason why one could be mechalel the peiros, the mois, which are in the hands of the Am Haaretz, is because of the halacha of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. And we could explain that the machlokes between Tosfos and the Ritva is whether we say the klal of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav in a case of zchus ha'nefesh, in a case of spiritual zchus. The general rule of Zachin La'adam Shalai Befanov is really mentioned in the Shas many times regarding kinyonim. One does a kinyon for someone else, one is mezake, an object for someone else, and he gets a financial benefit. Or other mitzvahs which are also tolui b'mamoin. And there we say that the halacha of Zachin La'adam Shalai Befanov says that one could do the mitzvah for somebody else. But when it comes to a zchus ha'nefesh, like our case, we're not talking about any financial benefit that the Am Haaretz will get. The only thing that the Am Haaretz will get is a spiritual benefit. He will not be nichshal in hisurim. And the question is, do we say the klal of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav in such a case? Tosfos obviously holds that we do not say the klal of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav in such a case, since it's not a zchus momoin, it's only a zchus hanefesh. And therefore, Tosfos had to come and say that the reason why the person does the chilul, really the chilul does not take place, and the reason why the buyer has to eat the peiros b'kedushas shvis is because of knas be'alma. The Ritva holds that we say the klal of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav, even in a spiritual zchus, even in zchus ha'nefesh, because the ma'ase, soif kol soif, this Am Haaretz will get a great benefit from the fact that the person is mechalel the ma'os which he has, and therefore it is under the category of zchus, and we apply the rule of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav even in such a case. This question, whether we say the klal of zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav in zchus hanefesh, is discussed at length in the Achroinim and also in the Rishonim in Tshuvas Radach Bais Tes Cheder Yudbeis has a whole discussion. And there is an afkemina halacha lemaiser regarding a question of a woman which heimira dosa. If one was married to a woman and she decided to leave the faith of Yiddishkeit, she is now becoming non-religious completely, or she changes her religion to some other religion. The question is whether one could be mezake a get to that woman. Could he divorce a woman by being mezakeh the get to the woman? Generally speaking, we say that one cannot do a zikui of a get to a wife because we assume that this is not a zchus for the wife, since the Gemara says tav lemeitav tandu milemeisav armelu, it is always better for the woman to stay married. But in this case, where she is now not Jewish anymore, she does not consider herself Jewish, the Rishonim discuss that maybe in this case it is a schus for this woman to be misgarish, to get divorced, because she is not going to keep anymore the Torah and the mitzvahs, and she will be nichshal in Isurei Eishes Ish. So therefore, for such a woman, it is better for her to get a get, since that will prevent her and protect her from being nichshal in very chomer isurim. In Lahalacha, the Ramo in Evan Ha'ezer, Simen Aleph, Seif Yud writes, Yesh oimri mi shehimiro ishtoi mezake lo get alidei acher venoise acheres. If one knows that his wife is not keeping Torah or mitzvahs anymore and he wants to prevent her from being nichshal, and in the case of the Shulchan Aruch over there, he also wants to marry another woman, he could do a zikui of the get, and that is following the klal of Zochin la'odom shlebefonov, and we see that lahalacha Zochin la'odom shlebefonov is even in zchus anefesh, even if it is not a financial zchus or a physical zchus, it is still included in the klal of Zochin la'odom shlebefonov. Lemaisa, we could say that even Tosfos agrees that be'etzem there is a concept of Zochin la'odom shlebefonov even in a case of zchus hanefesh, and the reason why Tosfos did not say the teretz of the Ritva over here, that the reason why the buyer could be mechalel the peiros, even though it's in the hands of the Am Haaretz, is because Zochin la'odom shlebefonov, because Tosfos assumed that this is really not a zchus for the Am Haaretz, and this is really based on what the Aruch Laner says on the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel Perek Ches Halacha Yud Aleph brings the halacha of our Mishnah, and he discusses at length the halacha that one is not allowed to buy peiros from an Am Haaretz. And the Rambam does not mention the end of the Braisa. The Braisa mentioned that if he already bought the peiros from the Am Haaretz, he could do the Chilul and being Mechalel, the Mois that the Am Haaretz has on the peiros that he has at home. The Rambam does not mention this halacha at all. And the Kapis Tamarim asks, why did the Rambam ignore this part of the Braisa? The Rambam said all the halacha is about buying peiros from Am Haaretz b'shvi'is. The Rambam should have ended off by saying that if one already did buy the peiros from the Am Haaretz, he should be mechalel the mois that the Am Haaretz has on the peiros that he has in his house. The Aruch Laner explains that the Rambam understood that this halacha, which is brought down in the Braisa, that one could do chilul on the peiros, on the mois which are in the hands of the Am Haaretz, is only the opinion of the Braisa. But our Mishnah clearly disagrees to this halacha, because the Mishnah says that if one is not allowed to buy the esrog from the Am Haaretz, and therefore when he buys the arba minim, he has to ask the Am Haaretz to give him the esrog b'matano. Halekeach lulav mechaveir b'shvis, noisin loy esrog b'matano lefi shein rashay leloy choy b'shvis. Asks the Aruch Laner, if the Mishnah would have agreed to the Yisoid of the Braisa, that even after one buys the Peiros from an Am Haaretz, he could still be Mechalil, those Ma'os which are in the hands of the Am Haaretz, why did the Mishnah say that one has to do all this plan of asking the Am Haaretz for the Esrog, to give the Esrog B'matana? And the Gemara even continued and said that if the Am Haaretz does not agree to give the Esrog B'matana, he has to ask for the Esrog in a way of Havlah. Why didn't the Mishnah simply give us a different Eitzah? That one will buy the Esrog from the Am Haaretz, and he will pay full price for the Esrog. And right after he buys the Esrog, he will be Mechalel, the Mois, which are in the hands of the Am Haaretz, on the peiros that he has in his house. And by doing so, he prevented any chashash of the Am Haaretz being Nichshal in not treating the Mois with a proper Kedusha. Says the Aruch Laner, the Rambam understood that since the Mishnah did not offer and did not give us this Eitzah of being Mechalel, the Mois, which are in the hands of the Am Haaretz, this is the Raya that a Mishnah does not hold that one could do so. Once the Mois are already in the hands of the Am Haaretz, one cannot do a Chilul anymore. And the Aruch Laner explains that the Machloikis between the Braisa and the Mishnah, according to the Rambam, was whether The halacha of Zachin La'odom applies in our case. The Braisa obviously held that we could say Zachin, that even though the Mois are in the Roshus of the Am Ha'aretz, still the Chilul works because the halacha of Zachin La'odom Shalai Bifonov. And as we explained in the Ritva, Zchus Anefesh is considered Zchus, we are preventing this Am Ha'aretz from being Nichshal in Haveirois. On the other hand, the Mishnah held that we do not apply the Klal of Zachin La'odom Shalai Bifonov in this case. And that is because we are not sure that being mechalel, the kedusha of the mois, is a zchus for an am haaretz. Because could be this am haaretz happens to know about the halachos of shvis, and maybe he does want the mois to be kodesh b'kedusha shvis, because he wants to keep all the halachos that are neigeh to the kedusha, and he wants to be mekayim, the mitzvah of keeping the halachos of kedusha shvis. And since we do not know whether this really is a zchus for the am haaretz to be mechalel the mois which are in his shoes, therefore holds the Mishnah that one cannot be mechalel. We cannot say the klal of zochin la'odom shalei b'fonav in this case, and that is why the Mishnah said that one cannot pay for the esrog and hand over to the am haaretz mois which are kodesh b'kedusha shvis. And the Rambam paskin like the Mishnah and not like the Braisa. According to this chat, we could say that Tosfos also agrees to the general idea that zchus hanefesh, that a zchus, a benefit which is a spiritual benefit, is also included in the klal of zochin la'odom shalei b'fonav. The reason why Tosfos did not want to explain our Gemara, our Braisa, that this is how the chilul works because of zochin la'odom shalei b'fonav, this is because of the svara of the Aruch Laner, that the Aruch Laner explained that in our case it's not a real zochin, because it could be the Am Ha'aretz really wants to keep the kedusha of the mois, and he wants to be noy kedusha shvis in the mois which are in his hand. This Ha'ar of the Aruch Laner is really a kasha on the Ritva. According to the Ritva, that one could do a chilul on the money which is in the hands of the Am Ha'aretz, and the chilul works, and now the money does not have any kedusha to it anymore. If that is so, why did the Mishnah say that one cannot buy an esrog from the Am Ha'aretz b'shvis? Let the person buy the esrog, and the money will be kodesh b'kedusha shvis. And right after that, he could do a chilul and remove the kedusha of the mois, which are in the hands of the Am Ha'aretz, and put the kedusha on the payers in his house. And by doing so, there is no chashash that he's causing the Am Ha'aretz to do an isur. This could perhaps be answered by the words of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in Shvi'is, Simin Chofeis Yivkot Dalet, writes that even though lahalocha we do paskin like this Ritva and other Rishonim, that the chilul works even in the mois which are in the hands of the Am Ha'aretz, and once a person does chilul, the mois do not have any kedusha to them. Nevertheless, one is not allowed to do so lechatchila. One is not allowed to buy peiros shvis from an Am Ha'aretz and to plan that after he will buy the peiros, he will do a chilul. This is not allowed because we are afraid that the person will forget, or maybe bemazid, he will not want to do the chilul, he will not want to take extra kedusha shvis on his peiros which he has in his house. Therefore, it is also midrabbonon to do so, and one is not allowed to buy peiros shvis al menas to be mechalal them after he buys them. Therefore, according to that, we can understand why the Mishnah did not allow a person to buy an esrog b'shvis me'am ha'aretz, even though the halacha, if he does a chilul, the chilul will work. Nevertheless, he is not allowed to do the chilul, to do the buying of the esrog melechatchila al menas to do the chilul afterwards.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.